Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 55 in the series, entitled A History of Monotheism, recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 8th of Tavis, 5759.
Morning, Tanya Perek Chaf, Daf Chafei Amad Beis. In chapters 18 and 19 of the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explored the Ahava Mesoteres, the embedded love existing in every single Jewish soul towards Hashem, stemming and flowing from the chachma energy in the soul, as he put it. However, as has been explained, during the life of the Jew, it's very possible that this state of consciousness, this awareness and experience of chachma shabenefesh, should lay dormant, should be asleep. It should become relegated to the subconscious cellars of the Jew's psyche and character. And therefore, it's very possible that his day-to-day behavior and lifestyle is conducted in a fashion which is absolutely at odds with the awareness, the feeling, and the experience of Chachma Shebenefesh. But this is possible, Alter Rebbe said, as long as the identity of Chachma is not challenged in a serious way. The moment, however, the Jew is confronted with the situation where he is going to pass the boundary. A boundary with which, from his subjective feeling, that will mean totally severing himself, separating himself from Hashem, crossing the border where, from his subjective perspective, he ceases to be Jewish. His Jewishness is taken away from him. At that moment, the Chachma cannot remain silent, indifferent, asleep, apathetic anymore. Rather, it wakes up from its state of sleep, because at that moment, the Chachma was challenged in the most serious, profound, and essential way, because her whole identity is the Jew's essential connection and bond with Hashem. And when that is challenged, when that is threatened, in the way that the Jew experiences and feels it, the Chachma awakes and begins releasing her voice. And the moment she releases her voice, all other voices of his life are automatically and naturally silenced, as if they have never existed. And then she impacts him. She influences the totality of the human being with her identity, with her vision, translating itself in the fact that he totally commits himself and dedicates himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu until to the extent where he is ready to dedicate and sacrifice his life for that truth and for that ideal. You're asking if it's not so much when it's challenged, but when the person perceives it's challenged. That's true. Because it's challenged whenever a Jew does an Aveira, it's challenged. Whenever a Jew behaves in a fashion which is antithetical to the divine blueprint for life, which is antithetical to the Nefesh HaLikis, to the divine soul, the Chacham HaShabba Nefesh is deeply, deeply frustrated, unhappy, and miserable. But in the human subjective experience, the Chacham is asleep. The moment he perceives that he's crossing the boundary, over here I cease to be Jewish, then the Chachma responds, and once the Chachma wakes up, there's no turning back. Because that's at the essence of his life. From his perception. Now here we come to the next stage. This dimension of the soul, or this, let's call it, this fuse of the Jewish soul, is switched on, is evoked only at unique, extraordinary moments of one's life. In fact, it's possible, theoretically, a person should live his whole life without ever being in touch in a conscious way with this element. The Alter Rebbe's primary ambition and goal is to educate and to demonstrate to the human being how every moment of his life, how every instant of his day, he can live with this higher state of consciousness, that his day-to-day life should be consistent with his quintessential self. And this is what he begins addressing in this chapter and in the continuing chapters.
He doesn't have to wait for some outside force to intrude in about a life-threatening situation.
Oh, yeah. So you're saying the point is, well, he doesn't have to wait for an outside force to intrude a life-threatening situation and so forth. Rather, he can internalize this awareness and initiate it and recreate it from his own awareness, contemplation, and meditation.
That waiting for that situation might not ever occur.
Right.
Can't wait for it.
Yeah, so let's look, let's begin learning inside. Peidek Chaf. V'hinei, meidazayis l'kail, now it is well known to all, that the positive commandment and admonition concerning Avodah Zarah idolatry, Shehem Shnei Dibreis HaRishon, which they form the first two sayings, the first two commandments, Anoichi V'lo Yilcha, I am Hashem, and you shall not have any other gods, Heim Kalalus Kala Torah Kula. They comprise the entire Torah. Anoichi and Layilcha are, of course, the first two dibreis of the Ten Commandments which Hashem communicated to the Jewish people at Matan Torah by Har Sinai. As the Pasuk tells us in Parashas Yisri in Perek Chaf, the first commandment begins with Anoichi Hashem Eloikecha Asher Yitzisichem Eretz Mitzrayim Mebeis Avadim, I am Hashem your God who has taken you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery. And the second that follows it is La Yilcha Lekim Acher Malponai. You shall not recognize other gods in my presence. Anoichi is the mitzvah for the faith, for the emunah, for the awareness and belief in the reality and in the unity of Hashem. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. La Yilcha is the prohibitive commandment, antithetical to emunah. The commandment of the Azhara of Avodah Zarah, the admonition against recognizing, worshipping, and acknowledging other gods, La Yilcha Elokim Acherim Alpanei, not to believe in anything that is antithetical to his unity. So the Alter Rebbe says that everybody knows that the two Dibrois, Anoichi V'La Yilcha, which is the positive and negative prohibition connected with Avodah Zarah, are Klolus Kol HaTorah Kula, they comprise the whole entire Torah. Ki, because Dibur Anoichi Koilel Kol Ramach Mitzvah Sesei, the commandment I am your God contains all of the 248 positive precepts. V'lo Yilcha, while the commandment that you shall not have other gods Koilel Kol Shasam Mitzvah Sloy Sesa contains all the 365 prohibitive commandments. And the source for this is discussed in various places in Zohar. It says it in a few places. The Shalah, in the beginning of Parshas Yisrei, discusses it, and many other sources, how these two Dibreis contain all of the mitzvahs, Anoichi, the positive ones, and Layilcha, the negative ones. V'lachein, this is the reason that Shamanu anoichi v'layil chalavad mipi ha'gevurah k'maymer azal. This is why we heard only these two commandments. Anoichi and layil cha directly from Hashem. While the other eight commandments were transmitted to the Jewish people by Moshe, as our sages have said, mipnei sheim kolalus kol ha'Torah kula, for they are the sum total of the whole Torah. And over here he's referring, obviously, to the Maimon Hazal and the conclusion of Masech Demakis, Daf Chav Dalet Amid Aleph. The Gemara says that Reb Simloi Darash Reb Simloi. Reb Simloi darshened that 613 mitzvahs were given to Moshe from Sinai. When you learn Chumash, it's unclear. Without Torah Shebaal Peh, without the oral tradition, everyone knows there are 613 mitzvahs. But the source of this is this Gemara. The Gemara says that Taryag mitzvahs were given to Moshe from Har Sinai. 365 prohibitive commandments corresponding to the days of the sun, to the cycle of the sun, Kiminyan Yemais HaChamas, 365 days. 248 positive precepts corresponding to Eivar of Shaladam, to the 248 organs of the human being. Rashi explains that every day of the year tells the Jew not to sin, and every organ of the human body tells the Jew to engage in the mitzvah. In the continuation, the Gemara says that Reb Hamnuna says, Maikra, what is the source for this statement of Reb Simoi in the Pasuk? Torah tziva lano Moshe. Moshe commanded us the Torah. The numerology of the word Torah is 611. That's what the Gemara says. The gematria of Torah is tough is 400. Reish is another 200, is 600. Vav and Hey is 6 and 5. Make 611. So Torah tziva lano Moshe. Moshe commanded us Torah 611 mitzvahs. Because anoichi v'layil lecha mipi ha'gevurah shemayinu. Because the first two dibris, the other two, 612 and 613, we didn't hear through Moshe Rabbeinu, from Moshe Rabbeinu, we heard directly from Hashem by the Aseres HaDibros. So the Alter Rebbe explains, what is the reason for this? Because this is klalus ha'Torah kula. Since these two dibris comprise the whole entire Torah, so therefore we heard these two dibris directly from Hashem, which means that we actually heard, in a sense, the entire Torah from Hashem. For all the commandments are contained within these two, as are particulars within a generalization. These being the generalization that are kol kol Torah kol. By the way, the Ramban, on his commentary in Yisra'i, and the Shalah also in the beginning of Yisra'i, explained that this is the reason why the first two Dibris are distinguished by the fact that in them Hashem addresses the Jewish people directly. First person directly. He says, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. As if he's talking to them, B'lashon Noichach, face to face. I am your God. Or Lo'yi Elokecha Elokim Acherim Al Panai. In my presence, you should not have other gods. In the other Dibris, for example, it says, Leisisa es shem Hashem aleikecha lashav. He doesn't say, Leisisa es shmi lashav. You should not swear in my name in vain. You should not swear in the name of your God in vain. So the Ramban and Shalak explain, because the first two Dibris, Hashem was told, had the Jewish people heard directly from Hashem. So he says, Anoichi and Alpana. And the Ramban explains why, Kivan shem ikir hakoil, as the Ramban puts it, because those two Dibris are the fundamentals. They are the fundamentals of the entire system of Yiddishkeit. Versus the other Dibris, well, Moshe was talking to the Jewish people, and the Jewish people heard it from Moshe, so therefore, the terminology also changes. In any case, what we understand from this is, and what Alter Rebbe is attempting to convey is, that the same consciousness, the same awareness, the same feeling and experience that a Jew experiences instinctively and essentially when he is confronted with an issue directly connected to emunah and avodah zarah, directly connected to embracing and acknowledging and remaining connected to Hashem's reality, or severing himself from Hashem's identity by denying it and so forth, that same consciousness and awareness he may experience concerning every single mitzvah and every single avera. Because essentially, every mitzvah, every positive mitzvah, every one of the 248 mitzvahs, are a form, are a manifestation, are a projection of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Emunah. And every aveda, every transgression is a form of aveda zarah, of idolatry. Because anaychi v'lo yilecha, the klal is kol ha'tera kula. So therefore, the same deep consciousness that the Jew experiences when he is confronted with a state, with a situation that deals with these issues of emunah and aveda zarah, that same awareness that he experiences, because then the chachmas of nefesh can't remain asleep anymore, can't remain latent or dormant anymore. It rather awakes, it is evoked and provoked, and it impacts him in a very powerful way. That same consciousness can exist concerning every single mitzvah and aveira. And as a result of this, we can truly say that karay ve'lecha hadavar miyoid b'ficha v'vavcha la'asayse. The pasuk, which is the theme of the Tanya, with which he began chapter 18, both the actual performance of the mitzvahs, in deed and speech and thought, and also the belavavcha, the feeling and the passion behind it, is karav ma'id, is indeed extremely accessible to every human being because it's inherent in the Jew. But this requires explanation. And this is what he begins addressing. Let's look inside. Olavayir heitev inyan zah. In order to elucidate this matter clearly, because in order that this should happen, that the Jew should experience this higher state of consciousness and awareness concerning all aspects of his life, and concerning every single day of the 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and so forth, you can't believe that this is the case. We can't rely and believe, have faith in the Alter Rebbe, who was a great sage, that every mitzvah is a form of emunah and every aveda is a form of aveda zarah. Because that will not create the same awareness and consciousness internally that comes from chachmas b'nefesh. That's again an issue of faith, which is detached from the essence of the human condition. The Jew has to realize and has to understand subjectively, and then feel under, relate to it subjectively, chachma, bina, and das, that this is the case. That he should begin identifying every mitzvah as indeed a manifestation and an expression of achdus Hashem, of emunah, and every aveda as a form of aveda zarah. And since at first glance that's not the case, so this, the Alter Rebbe begins explaining now, levayir heitev inyan zeh, how every single mitzvah is indeed a prat, is indeed a detail and an extension of the first du dibris anaychi v'lo yilecha. That's why Yosef began the perek, Midas zeis l'kail. It is known, everybody knows. Everybody knows that the first two dibris are kail l'kol ha'teira kula. It's an interesting beginning. Everybody knows. Who knows? It's something that everyone could know. That's what he's attempting to do. It's something that everyone can become aware of, that everyone can realize, that everyone can integrate into a system. When the Jew becomes Medaz, Ais L'Kail, so then every moment of life is an issue of Chachma Shabanefesh. Every moment of life is either embracing Chachma Shabanefesh or destroying it. And therefore the same awareness that the Jew, that same fuse that switched on at those unique moments of life-threatening situations, God forbid, we can relate to and identify with in our daily schedule. The following explanation that follows is a bit different than the style. Its style varies a bit from the style of the previous chapters of Tanya. You see, generally the Chabad literature, the literature of Chassidus and the Chabad school of thought, is comprised of two parts. One is called Haskalah, one is called Aveda. Aveda are the discourses, the essays and the writings that deal with this, primarily with the psychology of the soul and the manner through which one can refine his character, his identity, his emotional self, his personality, sublimate himself, and so forth. Haskalah is that part that deals with the philosophical and theological approach of Chassidus. In the terms that we used last week, you could say the Avodah dimension of the Chabad literature tries to put the heart on fire, and the Haskalah dimension of its literature attempts to put the mind on fire. Because the Alter Rebbe personally wasn't particularly fond, as many other great sages and masters, of instantaneous inspiration. He wasn't always opposed to it, but he wasn't particularly fond of living a life where man creates, or rather doesn't create, but responds to instantaneous inspiration, which he felt often burns like straw. So at the moment when you're on fire, but then that fire easily dissipates. His primary goal was that the human being's emotional appreciation, see, emotional was a cornerstone by him as by the other Hasidic masters. Because a detached, philosophical, objective mind is often worthless, because it really has no bearing on humans, on the human soul and on the human behavior. But he desired primarily that the inspiration should come as a result of understanding, as a result of meditation, of contemplation, because he felt then it is much more internal, then it is much more part of the human condition, it's part of the human system. It's not an otherworldly, spontaneous, overwhelming, engulfing experience, but it's rather integrated within the vessels of the human being. In any case, in the following two chapters, Chaf and Chaf Aleph, they will receive somewhat of a taste of some of the basic philosophical, theological ideas of the Alter Rebbe. So, Levay, Yerheit, Devinyan, Zah, in order to elucidate this matter clearly, we must first briefly speak, and this briefly is going to continue through this perek and the next perek, so we must briefly address the idea and the essence of the unity of Hashem. Because in order to understand how every mitzvah and every aveda are a form of emuna and aveda zara, we first have to understand what aveda zara is, what idolatry is. In order to understand what idolatry is, which is the antithesis of Hashem's unity, we first have to understand what is achdus Hashem. What do we truly mean when we talk about Hashem's unity? And then we can understand what aveda zara is, being that aveda zara is the antithesis of achdus Hashem. And then we can understand how every mitzvah, once we understand what Achdus Hashem is, what Aveda Zara is, we can understand how every mitzvah is an and every Aveda is an exercise either in perpetuating and embracing Hashem's unity, or, Chas v'Shalom, every Aveda is indeed perpetuating the illusion and delusion of Aveda Zara of idolatry. So he's going to address briefly the essence of the idea of Achdus Yishol HaKadosh Baruch. Shenikre Yachid u'Meyuchad. Hashem is called Yachid and Meyuchad. In Chazal and in Svarim, in various places, he is, so to speak, defined as Yachid, the single one, and Meyuchad, the singular one, the uniquely singular one. What does it mean that he's Yachid u'Meyuchad? What does it mean that Hashem is Yachid u'Meyuchad? Does it mean that there is only one God? There are no two gods. There's only one creator. There are no two creators. Does it mean that he is one being? That he is not compound of various elements? Like the human body, the human structure, which is a composite of various organs, compartments, chambers, and so forth? What does it mean that he's Yachid u'Meyuchad? So the Alter Rebbe explains, V'chayil ma'aminim shehu levadehu. And all believe that he is one alone, k'moy shahaya kaidim shenivra ilamamish, exactly as he was before the world was created. V'chayil ma'aminim shehu levadehu, I'm sure sounds familiar in the piyutim, in the liturgy that we say Rosh Hashanah, and the prayers of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we say the V'chayil Ma'aminim, the all believe, and one of them is V'chayil Ma'aminim Shehu Levadehu Hamamlich Melachim V'loy Hamlucha. All believe that he is one alone, he enthrones kings and kingship is his. This is from the beautiful piyutim we say, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, This piyut, parenthetically, was composed by a man named, you know by who? By a man named Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai was the Rebbe of Rabbi Lozer HaKalid. Rabbi Lozer HaKalid is considered one of the greatest poets who authored many piyutim and liturgies that we say. When he lived is still unclear. Most historians say that he lived somewhere in the time of the beginning of the era of the Gaonim, which would mean in the 6th century, or maybe in the 7th century. Rabbi Yanai was his Rebbe. And it says in Svarim that he is the one who authored this piyut of V'chol Ma'aminim. So the Alter Rebbe explains, what does it mean V'chol Ma'aminim Shehu Levadehu, all believe, what does it mean Hu Levadehu, that he is one alone? That he is one alone as he was before the world was created. Obviously then he was alone, since nothing had yet come into existence. So too now, after creation, a Jew believes that Hu Levadehu. O Kamei Sha'aymrim, as we say, Atu Hu Atshaloi Nivra Ha'aylam, Atu Hu Mishen Nivra Chuli. You are he who was before the world was created, and you are he who is since the world was created. Pirush, this means Hu Mamish, the same he, Beli Shum Shinui, without any change. This we say in Birchas HaShachar every morning, in the daily morning services, the section before Haidu after Matayvu. We say, Atohu Atshaloi Nivra Ha'ilam, Atohu Mishin Nivra Ha'ilam. The source of this parenthetically is in Medrash and Tana Develio, Perik Chav. Anihu Atshaloi Nivra Ha'ilam, Anihu Mishin Nivra Ha'ilam. Hashem addressing himself. In davening, we address Hashem. What is the literal interpretation of this statement? Apparently, the literal interpretation is that we are trying to demonstrate and talk about Hashem's eternity. You have no beginning, as if we would say you have no beginning and you have no end. You were there then and you're still there now and you'll be there in the future. You were always there. Atu Atshalei Nivraelam, Atu Mishin Nivraelam. But the Alter Rebbe doesn't interpret it that way. And apparently it seems from his words, Pirush Hu Mamish, that what perturbs him is the who. If the meaning of this passage would be merely to demonstrate Hashem's eternity, that he has no beginning and end, it could have stated simply, Ata Atshalei Nivra Ha'ilam, Ata Misha Nivra Ha'ilam. You were before the world was created, you are after the world was created. Why this circumlocution? Why this roundabout way? Of stating this fact, you are he who was before the world was created. You are he who is after the world was created. So the Alter Rebbe says that's the whole point. Hu mamish b'lishem shin. What we are trying to say is not that Hashem was there before the world was created and Hashem is there after the world was created. The same he that was there prior to the creation, that same he is out there after creation. The same state of unity which characterizes Hashem's existence, so to speak. Pre-creation, that same state characterizes him, so to speak, in the post-creation reality. That's the pshat. At Pirush, Hu Mamish B'lishum Shinnei. At Tohu, not that you were there. The same entity, the same being, the same he that was actually Nivra'ilam, that who is also Mishin Nivra'ilam. Kediksiv, as the Pasuk puts it in Malachi Perek Gimel, Ani Hashem Leishanisi. I, Hashem, have not changed since creation. And how the Alter Rebbe is explaining this, that Hashem is still one alone despite of myriads of beings. Creation has not created a change. apparently you would say, that the creation of the world created a change. It created a change in his unity. You can't say that it's this, the same who, which is pre-creation, is the who post-creation. Prior to creation, he was Yachid the Meyuchad. He was single, unified, and uniquely singular. After the creation of the world, a new reality emerged, Eimachinami, as a result of his creation, but he created a new reality, and he's not a Yachid anymore. So we say in Birchas HaShachar, Atu hu atchalei nivra elam, the Zelber hu, the identical who of pre-creation is Mishanivra Elam is post-creation. Ani Hashem Laisha Misi. And Alter Rebbe explains, Ki Yoylam Hazam, because this world that we inhabit, V'chein Kol Yoylam Misal Yoylam, and likewise all the supernal worlds, Einam Poyalim Shum Shinui, Ba'achdusa Yizbarach, do not effect any change in his unity, as a result of their having been created out of a state of nothingness. Just as Hashem was one alone, single and uniquely singular, before they, all the worlds were created, Cain, who levadehu, the same. It's true that he is one alone. Yachid umeyuchat, single and uniquely singular. Acher shebaram, after he created them. How can this be so? What about all of the creatures that exist? So the Alter Rebbe says, Mishum de kula kamei kalei chashif. Because all is naught beside him, uka'ayin ve'efes mamish, as if it was absolutely naught and nothing, totally non-existent. Totally non-existent, as he will explain in the continuation of the parish. You're asking that apparently you can understand that Briyas Ha'olam didn't change his essence, didn't change his identity. But how does the Alter Rebbe say that it didn't change his achdus? The Alter Rebbe says, "Einam poyalum shum shinui ba'achdusa yizbarach." Now, even the fact that you're stating that it didn't change him also requires a lot of explanation. Creation is something; it's an activity. What says it didn't change him? It requires involvement. It requires commitment. It requires work, however you're going to define that work. Huh? There's a big world, yeah. There's a whole world going on. There might even be creatures life on Mars. Look how difficult it's to sustain humanity on planet Earth. Imagine if he has to sustain another whole set of humanity. But it's not negay, huh? So that itself is something that requires a lot of clarification and is actually an issue that occupies an enormous, vast literature in Chassidus, particularly in the Alter Rebbe's Chassidus. But here he goes even a step further. He says that Einam Poyalim Shum Shinui Ba'achdusa Yizbarach, the same Yachid Umeyuchat, the Hu Levadehu, that singular entity is not the word, that Achdus, the unity that characterizes him, that he was Hu Levadehu, that same Hu Levadehu exists also Acher Shebarach. Indeed, this doctrine, one can say, is one of the chief primary contributions of the Baal Shem Tov to Yiddishkeit.